Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And then Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. And those of you who are on Amazon, I have a book on Kindle, Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. It's my first book of motivation, so be sure to visit Kindle on Amazon and order Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. Have a couple of events coming up. I have a speaker training with Les Brown and his daughter, Ona Brown, talking about how to define your story, the power in telling your story. You know, a lot of times we, in the motivational, inspirational network where we're going out speaking and encouraging individuals to live their life, they don't know the story behind the message. They see an image up there before them and have no idea as to what that person is made of. You know, greatness is a choice, and we have to choose it. So we're constantly struggling and battling on a regular basis to maintain who we are once we realize whose we are. So those of you that want information about the power of story with Les Brown and Ona Brown, you can call me at 954-724-0900, and I'll be more than happy to give you information about that. Or you can visit lesbrown.com. Or hit me up on Facebook. Valerie Parker is on Facebook, V-A-L-O-R-I-E, Parker on Facebook, and I'll be able to give you the information and details regarding that. And that is September 6th and 7th in Fort Lauderdale, a two-day Power of Story speaker training with Les Brown and Ona Brown. And then September 13th and 14th, I will be hosting my seventh soul retreat for men and women. The theme is Walking in Purpose, and I have some great guests along with me. I have Danielle Knox on Lifetime TV show Balancing Act, and Dr. Clarence Granich from Richmond, Virginia, a motivational speaker, Dee Thompson from Fort Lauderdale, Alan McDougall, motivational speaker and author coming from Pittsburgh, and Melba Spears, she's a singer and a new author, and she is coming from Dallas, Texas, and we'll start the event out that Friday, September 13th, with a fashion show, with vendors, with music, and then the second day, we go on to the retreat with personal development seminars, along with our Keep It Real sessions. That's where the men and women go into separate rooms, and you just unveil yourselves and say what's going on. Because, you know, so many times you go to events and conferences and you go in and you come back out the same way. Well, this promises to be a great event so that you can walk in purpose. And then we close out the retreat that night with a 70s party. That's right, a 70s party. We be coming in full drag, as they say, with the afros, the stilettos, and the psychedelic pants, whatever you want to wear that goes back into the 70s to make it fun. You don't have to, but just so it'll be fun. I am so delighted to have with me tonight Mr. Velkin Scholl. He is the author of Prospecting the Key to Your Success, to Future Success. You know, a lot of times we have different individuals on this show to empower and motivate individuals. Hot Topics from the Soul is a platform where we discuss social issues, relationships, family, finances, and we also cater to the entrepreneurs and health and wellness. But tonight I have Mr. Velkin Scholl. Are you there?
Yes, Dr. Val. How are you this evening?
I am actually doing quite well that you're here on the air with me to break down some walls and some myths for those entrepreneurs who are trying to make it to the next level.
Well, I'm honored to be here, and I'm so excited to be able to share with your audience and with the world the story behind Prospecting the Key to Your Future Success, as well as the book itself. You know, one of the things about life is selling from the time that we are born until the time that we close our eyes. We are always selling something. The first thing that we sell more than anything else is ourselves. We show up as a person, and people make opinions of us based on what they see and what we say.
Absolutely. And, Velti, you're also the president and CEO of Strategic Solutions, LLC. Tell us, the audience, about that before we get into your book, what that company is.
Strategic Solutions, LLC, is actually a sales and marketing training company. We work with sales professionals, and our mission is to work with sales professionals to increase their income, improve their skills, and help them dominate their market. And we use specific strategies and tactics to help salespeople become the best that they can be.
Can you give us some insight? Because, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are doing the same thing you're doing. What sets your company apart from all the rest?
The real thing that sets us apart is we not only teach what most companies teach, which are the specifics from an education standpoint and book knowledge, but we take real life and we interject real life into what most people teach from books. One of the things that I learned very early in my career is it's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to experience it. It's a third thing to talk to someone who has walked a mile in your shoes, who's hit the stumbling blocks that you hit every day and the things that you're going to be up against, and has developed a concept and a mindset that allowed them to use those stumbling blocks as stepping stones to overcome those obstacles and take advantage of those areas of opportunity to grow and become a sales professional and eventually, in my case, the CEO of his own company.
Wow, you said that so eloquently. I couldn't have formulated better myself. So that in itself sets you off apart from the rest, because you have companies that say they do what you do, but not able to communicate it clearly as to who they are, what do they have, and why we should even care to invest or allow you to sow into our lives to try and make us better. So I salute you on being able to do that, and also for your years in the industry of doing this. So now, is this how a spinoff from what allowed you to write this book, to pen this book, is your desire to help entrepreneurs and corporate America?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I spoke to a group of professionals the other day, and one of the things that I was telling them is that this book is the product of an experience that happened to me almost 16 years ago. I was sitting in my office, and I got a call from the vice president, senior vice president of sales and marketing of the company, and he said to me that he needed me to fly to Atlanta in 2 weeks and do a presentation to the sales force there because they were having difficulty in adjusting and understanding how to prospect for business. So I asked him at that point, I said, do you have a book? Do you have a workbook? Is there a class format or some information that I need to study and bone up on before I fly to Atlanta so that I can do this presentation? His response to me was, no, you'll think of something. But you know what? My other line's ringing. I have to go. So here I am sitting in my office with a new assignment within 2 weeks that I have to fly to Atlanta and do a presentation to the sales force down there on prospecting. Now, I had been a sales professional myself, and I managed an office with 40-plus salespeople in it. But the issue was I had to write and develop a curriculum. And a lot of times when something like that is placed on our shoulders, many people either look at it from the aspect that I really don't have time for this, it's not part of my job description, and I'm not being compensated over and above my normal salary for what they're asking me to do. But I didn't take that attitude. I sat down and I put together a presentation, which was about a 2.5-hour presentation on prospecting, and I used PowerPoint to orchestrate the workshop. And I flew to Atlanta the following week and presented that workshop to the salespeople in the Atlanta region.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said the workshop was successful, so I got a call because some of the other vice presidents in the company found out that I was doing this, and they asked me to come to their regions to do the same thing. So what I ended up finding is that I became the prospecting workshop leader for the company, which allowed me additionally to become a certified trainer in some of the other training acumens that the company had. So I was on the road to becoming a trainer, even though I still had my responsibility as a director of sales and marketing of a global sales office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to fast forward with that story a little bit, I left the company a few years later, but because I had written the workshop was proprietary to me. I owned it. So what I was able to do was to take that workshop when life turned for me a second time and parlay that workshop into my first product when I started Strategic Solutions LLC. So I had a workshop called Prospecting the Key to Your Future Success. And my customers were salespeople across the country in different industries with different companies, and I was talking to them about prospecting because prospecting is unilateral across lines, product lines, and it doesn't depend on one specific industry for you to utilize the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently, as I was developing a customer base, in 2008, I was in a situation where I was actually working for another company, and the market was desolate. And I was basically told that my performance was not the issue. However, they had to cut almost $200,000 out of the marketing budget the following year. And there were two of us in leadership at the company, and the other individual had been with them for 25 years. So they needed to eliminate a position, and the position they were eliminating was mine. So my position was eliminated from the company. I got a very nice severance package, but bottom line was I was unemployed. And the only thing that I had to fall back on at the time was Strategic Solutions LLC, which I had started a few years prior, but really had not done full time. You know, Val, there comes a point in time in everybody's life where you have to really understand that what happens to you can be changed depending on your attitude. Charles Randolph said that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. So if I had sat there and wallowed in my sorrow and not taken the initiative to do something with my life, I was in a situation where there was nowhere to go. Instead of that, I sat down and I began to look at the workshop that I had developed, and I penned the book, Prospecting the Key to Your Future Success. And I sat in 2008, and it took me about 4 or 5 months of writing and editing and looking and trying to develop the product into a book. This is 2008. So I wrote the book. I continued the business that we had, and I continued to develop other workshops, and then I put it into the self-publishing process. Well, I'm happy to say that 3 weeks ago, we hit the market. The book, Prospecting the Key to Your Future Success, was launched. We did our first book signing a week ago Saturday. We sold 11 books at that point, plus we had people go up on Amazon and start to purchase our book. And since then, we've continued to get to develop a demand for the book and demand for the story that I'm telling people as a speaker, because the story is not just about prospecting. The story is about stumbling blocks in our life that we can turn into stepping stones with the right attitude. And
wow.
One of my other favorite people was Nelson Mandela, and he had a quote that says, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel fear, but he who conquers that fear." And I have to tell you, in 2008, I was very afraid. But I'm also
yes,
a Christian.
Yes, as were a lot of people.
And my faith allowed me to continue to persevere. And I'm happy to say that today I'm doing what I love. I have a book on the market. I'm working on a second book. And I just have fun every day with what I do.
Mm-hmm. How important is it in strategic planning to have a plan B and even a C?
Extremely important. Because you never know what turns life is going to present to you. We always have to be prepared for the unexpected. Did I expect that I was going to be in a situation after being a director of sales marketing in an industry, in the hotel industry for over 20 years, that I was going to be basically downsized out of a job in a market that was desolate? I had no idea. And when you're in a situation like I was, where you have two children in college, you have a mortgage, you have other responsibilities in life, you have to continue to move ahead and push ahead and find out what you're going to do to overcome your situation.
Well, you know, one thing about life, it doesn't discriminate. It happens to us all, and it depends on how we play out our life, which will determine the outcome of who we are and the accomplishments that we make as it relates to being in their season. Our their season is a place of where it comes full circle of where you're supposed to be, where you find out your why for existence. Like it with me, Velton, I had no idea that I would be doing what I'm doing at this very moment. It was, pretty far-fetched. Here I was, a wife and mother, and I had jobs. I always worked in corporate America, and I've always been administrative to the president of something. So I learned how to operate businesses by being the CEO's right hand. And, I tell a lot of individuals, Belton, when they're on somebody's job, don't just work just enough to keep from getting fired and obtaining a paycheck. Learn everything you can learn, because it is like going to college. It's like going to a university, because not only do you need a degree, but you need the experience to go along with the degree these days in order to make it, unless you're going to be an entrepreneur and you're walking in God's favor where the doors open up, boom, 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 and life isn't hard because you're in your assignment. Because when you're on assignment in that right vein of where you're supposed to be, then all things will come together for you and it won't be hard. The problem is a lot of people don't know who they are, what their assignment is, or what they're supposed to do. So that's where the hindrance and the disconnect happens, is not knowing your purpose, your why. So in prospecting and having your own businesses and being in a corporate arena where you're trying to build and expand, what are some of the main things let's go with the number one thing right now, and then we'll expand on what is the number one thing that someone needs to do when they're trying to generate business?
Well, the number one thing that anybody needs to understand is that prospecting is an ongoing situation. It's not cold calling. It's not being on the phone, because a lot of people, especially salespeople, think when you say prospecting, oh my goodness, they're asking me to do cold calls. Well, cold calls in my mind, are a thing of the past. You need to really have warm calls. And I say warm calls because prospecting is a function of networking. Utilizing your network to open doors to allow you to speak to people that otherwise would not talk to you, to get to customers that otherwise may not entertain a conversation with you, may not be willing to allow you to use their precious time to benefit you and to deliver the message that you're trying to deliver as a salesperson or even as an individual. I mean, when I talk about networking and prospecting being synonymous, you know, if you go to a reception or a party or a function, there are prospective people in that room that have the ability to utilize or benefit from your product or services. Many times they are barraged or bombarded by other salespeople, and they are somewhat apprehensive about talking to someone new. But if you're able to find someone that you know that already has a relationship with that person and get them to do an introduction or be able to join in on a conversation, to break down that wall of the unknown, now you have the ability to talk to that person on a humanistic level without the fear of, oh my goodness, here's another salesperson who's going to try to sell me something, before they get to know you. Once they get to know you, then you can introduce your product. So the first sale is to sell yourself as a person, to alleviate that fear of the unknown, to allow them to warm up to you as a human being.
Wow, they got it, because it has been said that people buy from who they know and respect. And if they don't know you, how can they respect you to even be able to trust you?
Mm-hmm. People do business with their
friends. So it's like a domino thing. It's a circle effect.
Exactly. You know, a very, very, very dear friend of mine who's deceased and a mentor of mine, his name was Howard F. Mills, and he had a saying and a philosophy for an organization that he created called the National Coalition of Black Meeting Planners. And their philosophy is people do business with their friends and people that they are comfortable with. And that's true in any industry, in any walk of life. People do business with people that they are comfortable with. If they're not comfortable with you, unless you have a product that they can't get anywhere else, they are not as apt to do business with you as they are with someone else that they're comfortable with.
And you know, since we are talking about businesses and the disconnects in the arenas and stuff, isn't it also the reason why people only sometimes do business with people that they know or reflect is because of the simple fact that folks don't follow through? Talk about following through in the corporate America.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Val, because follow through is a must, and follow through can make or break a salesperson or an individual. You know, the one thing that is a constant any time in business is your reputation and your word. Your reputation is the only thing that continually follows you and carries you through your walk of life. If people don't feel as though they can rely on you and trust you, and you cannot become that trusted advisor, especially in a sales relationship, they're not going to continually do business with you. You can have the best product in the world, but if you, the representative of that product, cannot capture their trust through making sure that you deliver what it is you've promised, they're not going to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people talk
about
people, you know, some people are luckier than others. And that sale was a product of luck, and they got to that sale because of luck. You know, my philosophy on luck is probably a little bit different than other people's philosophy, because to me, I believe in luck, but I believe in luck as being something that a lot of people may not understand. Luck is not just something that happens arbitrarily. Luck is being mentally, emotionally, and physically prepared for an opportunity presents itself to you. So luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So if you're prepared correctly and appropriately to deliver your product to the market and to the individual that's looking for something, you've created your own luck.
Well said indeed. And you know, that's one of the things that sets different individuals apart in this arena is because of your credibility. Be the message that you bring. Whatever you say, make sure you follow through, make sure you do it. And also, one of the things that just irritates me to no end is when I call someone and they don't have the decency to call me back, whether they don't want to do business with me or not. Return every phone call because of the fact that you may be one, but that, you know, everybody is one person away from a breakthrough. You don't know
Absolutely.
Who that individual may know that could connect you, because you being courteous and being kind and showing yourself friendly, they may be like, you know, I really like you. I have this individual that's doing such and such and such and such that may you two can maybe hook up. So return everybody's phone call, whether you want to do business with them or not. Just say, you know, call them back, say, yeah, I got your message, but I'm not interested at this time. At least say that.
Absolutely.
You know, but
you know,
just
Val,
not say nothing.
Right. I'm an avid reader, and I read things that are motivational and keep me on focus and on point. And many years ago, I read a book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements. And I would continually go back to and read that book and really wallow in the four agreements that he outlined. And the first is to be impeccable with your word. You know, your word is what carries you through life and through business. If you make a commitment to do something, be impeccable with what you said you were going to do. You know, the second agreement is don't take anything personally. It's just business. I mean, you remember The Godfather where Don Corleone says, it's personal. It's not personal, it's business. And business is different. The third is don't make assumptions. You know, sometimes we knock ourselves out of the box because we assume something that really isn't a reality or true.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth agreement, one that I love equally, is always do your best. Always do your best. I used to have a boss, and he had a saying one, and he used to say this to us all the time. All I ask of you is that you show up every day with your best self. Not just show up with your best self.
Wow, and you know that's difficult for a lot of people.
Absolutely is.
Very difficult for a lot of folks to show up for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, we bring
to. Why do you think that is, Belton? You know, why do you think that people are so lax when it comes to showing up for their life?
Well, sometimes we bring to the next situation, the baggage or the heartache from a previous situation, be it an employment situation, a relationship situation, a family situation, we carry that baggage forward. And we then unload that baggage on the next individual that we encounter or the next relationship that we encounter. We have not cleansed ourselves of that because a lot of times we are so tied up in our hurt and our wallowing in our own pity that we're not ready for the next opportunity when it presents itself to us. So we sit back and we do nothing. do the wrong thing.
Story of people alive, sit back and do nothing. And just let life go by with the murmuring and complaining about why this person is doing this and they're not. And, oh, they did this to get to the top. They did that. They assume everything except for what the individual did, which was hard work.
Exactly.
Put in the work.
Well, you know what
How
they
about
say
talk
about
that, Velton?
What's that? Hard work?
Talk about putting in the work.
Well, you know, there's a saying that the only place that success comes before work is in a dictionary. And that's true. You know, what we do today will generate benefits for us tomorrow. But we're not going to get there before we put in the work. We have to put in the work. We have to show up. We have to take control of our lives. Control of our destiny and control of our future. If we don't, no one else will. If we don't show up, then what else is there? Who else is going to show up in our stead? There is no one else to do it but us. If we're waiting, you know, I was sitting in church last Sunday, and our pastor said something about people sitting on the sidelines waiting for the swoop down. And the swoop down is this angel coming down from heaven, swooping down, bringing us something that we want, we thirst for, that we are passionate for, that we're not willing to go out there and do the work to get it ourselves. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you there's no such thing as a swoop down. If you want it, you better go for it.
Wow. I always talk about how people are like individuals that sit in cars with the engine running, and the light is green saying go forward, but they're sitting parked in life, not going anywhere, not doing nothing, watching all the cars driving by when the light is green, and they're sitting, they're stuck in their mind, in their emotions, and their thought process where that light is red to them. And then because they don't move forward, it'll turn from red to maybe a dim yellow, and they may take just a little itty-bitty step towards their dream, and then they'll fall off saying, there was nobody to help me across. Nobody fixed my engine. My car was running, but I couldn't press the metal to the pedal to move forward. And they start blaming everyone else for their inadequacies, when really it all begins with you. It begins within. That fighting that inner critic that says, I cannot, I will not, I should not, but instead of moving forward and say, I can do it, I can achieve, I was created for this, there's greatness in me, as Les Brown always says. And, you know, I've never understood why he used to say that to individuals, say that I see greatness in you. And it came to me because you have to believe somebody else's opinion of power. When they speak from a place of power, until your power and your process of your abilities kick in to believe that it is possible for you. We're limited in our process. When I greet individuals, I greet them as queens and their kings, because sometimes we forget who we are, and until someone speaks that and say, I see you, queen, hello, queen. Queens walk with a certain kind of authority, with their heads held high, and they're able to command things and it shall be. Kings walk in authority or leadership and rule, and sometimes when life throws you some curves, you don't feel like a king. You feel like a failure because you feel that you let people down. But the thing is, when you're reminded that you have that ability, you have that greatness inside of you to make a difference in individuals' life, that's when the shift occurs. That's when it's able to move to the next level. All it is for entrepreneurs, it begins within you. It begins with a dream to achieve, a dream to want to be able to do more, not for just you, but for your family. Because life isn't just about us. It's about what we have to do to ignite the flame in someone else. And once we get that mentality, then we're able to grow businesses and expand to new regions beyond our comprehension, because it goes from referral to referral to referral. But if you're not being that beacon of light, if you're not laying a foundation that's applicable where individuals will say, I want to capitalize off of what you're doing and expand it so that I can be able to grow from it, then it's not going to be no effect. You'll have a business and no business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, one of my favorite sayings is in life, and people, you know, Les is a prime example of just someone who shares and pours into so many people's lives, positive energy, and just has a passion for just helping other people. But one of the sayings that I always kept in my mind, because as you go through this process, not everybody's going to be your champion like Les.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to instill in your mind is, it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to. You can call me anything you want, but unless I answer the call, that's not me. So if I believe in myself, it doesn't matter what other people call me. I've got stories that I've talked to people about, and I'm a prime example of what people have called me in my life is not what I've become. And that happens with all of us through life. Life is not perfect. And there was another speaker that I admire. Her name is Patrice McLeod, and she said, you only go around once in life, and this ain't no practice run.
Wow.
So seize the moment and do your best in all things. So I...
Okay, go ahead.
I just said I humble myself because there are so many examples of people that have been able to take life's adversity and take life's lemons and make lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And as people, as children of God, we need to be able to take the gifts that He's given us and utilize them to His glory and to our benefit. Because we are incredible people. We are incredible beings. We are just energy and power that we can share with the world, and the world deserves to see who and what we are. So I applaud anyone who works hard and puts in the time. And the reward, one of the things that I learned, and I continually tell people, the work that you put in today may not be rewarded tomorrow, but down the road, you're going to reap the benefits. And the prospecting and the story that I tell people and I share with people is just evidence of what happened to me in my life and my career. May not have been exactly what I expected or anticipated as a young kid coming out of college. But once I got to the point where I gained the knowledge and information from those trials and tribulations, and I became educated in how to take that and interpret it for other people, I'm having a wonderful life. I'm enjoying what I do. I enjoy talking to people and helping young people develop and move ahead, and young salespeople, making them incredibly supercharged with the ability to go in and just dominate their market and be the best and reap the benefits from it.
Belton, I know individuals are saying, well, where can we get information about your book? How can they obtain that and learn more about your business services that you offer so that they can move to the next level?
Sure. They can go to my website. My website is veltonschaul.com. It's V-E-L-T-O-N, SHOWELL.com, my name, and they can go there. I post on my blog 2 to 3 times a week, and I post predominantly sales and leadership acumen, things that will help you continually develop as a sales professional and as a leader. They can also go there to purchase my book. There's a link to Amazon, or they can go directly to Amazon. If you go to my website and purchase the book, you just go to the bottom and click on the icon that is the cover of the book, and it'll take you right to Amazon, and you can purchase the book there. And they can contact me through my website, or they can follow me on Facebook at Facebook Velton Schaul, or they can follow my fan page, which is Strategic Solutions LLC. I'm also on LinkedIn. And they can join me on LinkedIn, because I also post on LinkedIn, because that's really a business site. And I'm a strong proponent of people getting involved and connecting and networking on LinkedIn, because, again, that's prospecting at its finest.
Wow. Everyone that's in business or trying to increase business needs to get prospecting, the key to your future success, because if you don't prospect, you won't get any business, bottom line. The book has some great chapters, you know, what is prospecting, why prospect. You know, a lot of people's perception of what prospecting is distorted. They think that they're prospecting, but they're not. And that's why they're not generating or getting business. You look at individuals that got a cornbread business card and got a cornbread this going on, but they getting big money. And you got all this flamboyance with the website and the cards and this and that, and you don't have any business. And you're wondering, how in the world did they get this contract? They don't even have half of what I have. Why did they get this contract? So if you get this book, Prospecting, the Key to Your Future Success, you may find your answer there. I'm not going to give it away. You have to order the book. But, Velton, one of the things, the chapters I want you to talk about on here that won't give away so much so that they can, you know, invest in themselves and get the information to grow is... You talked about the Bermuda Triangle. I was reading that. I was like, yep. Give a little bit about that.
In this day and age, everybody has to deal with voicemail. And, you know, when you go to voicemail, it's very difficult sometimes to get through it, because you call someone, you get their voicemail, and it says, if you'd like to talk to my assistant, please press 1. So then you press 1 to talk to a human being who's their assistant, and the assistant's he or she is not at their desk, and you go to another voicemail. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you go to a fourth or a third or a fourth voicemail, and you never really get the opportunity to talk to a physical human being or person. And in the customer service world, sometimes when you talk to that individual or person, you're talking to someone in another country. So you really never get to talk to the individual or the person that you're trying to talk to. So what I talk about in that chapter is understanding that you still have to make a positive first impression. So if you're going to leave a voicemail message, make sure that the voicemail message that you leave is powerful, is something that's going to allow you an entree that will entice or enhance itself so much that the person's going to want to call you back. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of it, and a lot of people don't understand, is you're talking to a machine. You don't have to sound like one. Be warm, be personable. Mm-hmm. And if you're not happy with it, then you hang up and do it over again. Most voicemail software will allow you to delete your message if you're not satisfied with it. Delete it. Start over. You've got more than one chance to make sure the message that you want to deliver is appropriate and powerful. And if you're not, if you haven't, hang up, write it down, practice, and call back. You have that option with voicemail. You don't have that option when the person picks up the phone on the other end. So the Bermuda Triangle is where you get lost, but you can find your way very easily.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that with the audience. Now, any closing tips or advice? We got about another 15 minutes of the show of things that you can offer up as far as strategic solutions is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, strategic solutions, as I said, are the workshop that we started with, and our first product was Prospecting the Key to Your Future Success. Subsequently, we've written some additional workshops, and we've got a very high level of demand for them. One of our workshops is called Shaping Winning Attitudes for You and Your Customers, and it's really the short time or short version of that in my mind is called Customer Service Leadership, which is the second workshop. But Shaping Winning Attitudes for You and Your Customer is really working with your service staff to ensure that they understand what it is and what it means to take care of a customer. One of the biggest issues we have in this country right now is because everybody has been squeezed so much by the economy, we have forgotten about taking care of our customers. So we need to make sure that we are taking care of our customers first and foremost. And the people on the front lines really have to be ready and able and empowered. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, we used to talk about empowering employees and giving them the opportunity to make decisions to handle customer issues and areas of opportunity. Well, in a tight economy, sometimes that goes away because we don't want to give away anything because it affects our bottom line. But what we've lost sight of is the fact that it's five times more expensive to find a new customer than it is to take care of an existing customer. So we need to go back to taking care of customers. And in a lot of instances, as we become more of a global economy, customer service is different based on where we're from and what we're used to. So we need to train our employees and our staff to understand what we as a company value as good customer service versus what they're used to. And if we can do that, we can retain our customer base and move on. That's what that workshop really gets into, and then we get into the leadership of that type of style of customer service leadership. Our additional workshops to the art of negotiation. Negotiation is one of the most intricate parts of the selling process. That's where we need to make sure that we are covering what it is the customer needs, but in the same respect, as we understand the customer's needs, we can negotiate a better position for our company to make sure that we also get our needs met in the process. So we talk about a win-win situation in negotiation. You know, you have to make sure that your customer feels good because they will buy from you if they feel good and their needs are met. A lot of people get into negotiations with customers before they understand what the customer's needs are. You can sell something to me, you can give something away, and if I don't need it, I may take it, but it doesn't mean that you've moved the process closer to a sale. It's just something
nice to have. That's a powerful key. Repeat that, Belton, because that was very powerful what you said there.
Well, the bottom line is when you sit down with the customer, there are three things. There are what the customer needs, what the customer deems as what's nice to have, And the third is, well, if you're offering, I'll take it. To move the sale forward, you need to fill the customer's need. They need to need what you're offering, or you need to find what their needs are and sell to their needs. Now, there are needs, and then there are things that are nice to have. You know, I may not need it, but it's nice to have. So you may sell that to me as part of your package, and I may say yes, but I really didn't need that. So the profitability for your company has now taken a hit because you've given something to the customer that they don't need, but they're taking it because it's nice to have. And then the third thing is something that's totally off base that you're giving them that, again, decreases your area of profitability. But if you're offering it, why not? I'll take it. So what we try to do is get the customer needs on the table and have the salesperson develop their proposal and develop their presentation to address the customer's needs versus the nice-to-haves and if you're offerings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's nice. I wouldn't mind having that. And then they said it's just like me buying outfits and stuff just because it's cute and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it
mm-hmm.
sits in my closet for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And never utilize it because I'm waiting for the opportunity of when I could use it, and then most of the times forget I even have it to use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. It goes back to, I worked in the hotel business for many, many years, and I used to have issues with my salespeople when they get a lead from a customer, and a customer tells them, gives them the specifics of their meeting and where they're going and what they need. And the meeting predominantly is going to be at the convention center. All their meetings and all their food functions and so forth and so on are going to be at the convention center. The only thing they needed from the hotel was sleeping rooms. And I'd walk by and I'd see salespeople walking the same customer who we know is going to have all their meetings and food and beverage functions at the convention center, and they're standing in the middle of our ballroom in the hotel saying, our ballroom is 25,000 square feet and we can seat X number of people for a meeting and X number of people for a food and beverage function. Well, do we really understand what this customer needs? They just told you that all their meetings and all their food and beverage functions are at the convention center. Why, pray tell, are we parading them through our ballroom? Why are we not sitting down with them and understanding from their sleeping room perspective how we can get a bigger chunk of the rooms and how we can get the hospitality suite for their exhibitors and the people that are entertaining their attendees so that we can reap the benefit of the revenue from that perspective? The time we wasted in the ballroom makes no sense. Now, that same customer may say, well, you know what, since you're giving me, you're taking me in your ballroom, I can put a session over here, but I'm not paying for the meeting space. So now we've given them our free ballroom, which created an opportunity cost for us because we could have sold that ballroom to someone else that was going to generate revenue for the hotel. But we've given it to this customer who really didn't need it. But since we were offering, they took it. And we missed the opportunity because we didn't sit down with them and discuss the revenue from the sleeping rooms, the hospitality suite, having their president or all of their VIPs stay with us
mm-hmm.
to better position us in the city as their headquarters hotel.
Mm.
So doing a needs analysis is extremely important in the success of any sales, any negotiation and selling process.
Mm. Wow, well, this has definitely been a great show for me and hopefully for the listening audience. And I know it is for anyone that's in business or an entrepreneur because this is what you need to know how to prospect. And there's certain keys and there is a method that's involved for you to be able to do so. So I thank you so much for sharing some insight. And once again, you can get the information from Velton Scholl to order his books and find out more about his company. Give that information once again, Velton.
My website is www.veltonshowell.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Velton Showell or on my fan page at Strategic Solutions LLC.
Thank you so much. And don't forget to visit FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com. That's www.FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com. And you will be able to find out information about me and what I do, what my company does. And again, I invite you to attend one of the two events that I'm putting together, or both of them. First, September 6th and 7th, we have Les Brown and his daughter, Ona Brown, doing training on the power of story, how to tell your story so that you can win audiences. This is, if you want to be the best, you've got to train with the best, and they're the best the industry has to offer. And also that following week, September 13th and 14th, their location will be the same as at the Marriott Pompano Beach. It's on the beach. Yes, we're going to be on the beach celebrating, having a good time, freeing ourselves, getting to a next level as we learn how to walk in our purpose. And that is September 13th and 14th is a two-day event, and it's only $97. I've kept the cost down so that individuals can be able to take a little break. We have hotel rooms. Both weekends you can get the hotel rooms at $109 a night at the Marriott. You just tell them you're with the Soul of a Woman, and they, or Soul Retreat, and they will give you that rate of $109 a night. So you can come in Friday, spend the day on the beach, and then that night come to the fashion show, and the vendors will be there, and then we have a psalmist there that night, and then the next day we have the workshops, and in between there you can go back to the beach and then come in and celebrate with the 70s party. So it's a great weekend I have in store for you, and you can find out more information from eventsbyarise.com, eventsbyarise.com, or call me at 954-724-0900. You can call me to register, or you can visit me on Facebook. Valerie Park is on Facebook, and also like the Soul of, From the Soul of a Woman on Facebook as well. And Velton, I want to thank you so much for being my special guest, for giving of yourselves, and for having the desire to help individuals by putting it in a book called Prospecting the Key to Your Future Success. Future success, meaning you can be successful right now, and the seeds you lay out right now can take you into your future. So I thank you so much once again for joining me on Hot Topics from the Soul.
Absolutely, Dr. Val. I'm very honored that you had me, and I'm very happy to be here, and I look forward to seeing you very soon and talking to your audience and reading about their success.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.